I see them! They're coming back!
Rose joined Mike at the window. At first, she saw nothing. Then, gradually, she could make out the shadow of a crouching man, scuttling across the sage-studded ground. Canteens hanging from his neck bumped together. The Indians heard this, too. The soldiers returned fire.
Careful, don't hit our boys!
Now all three men were visible, running as fast as their liquid cargo would allow, making no attempt at concealment. Sai was in the lead, identifiable because he was the smallest, followed by the Mexican, with Dixon bringing up the rear. Though each man could have saved himself by dumping his liquid load, no one did. For the first time that night, the moon broke through the clouds, and Rose saw three warriors urging their horses through the creek. One, ahead of the others, closed in on Dixon, raising an arm that was unnaturally long and skeletal. It was a war club he was preparing to bring down on Dixon's skull.
Run! Run, Daniel! Drop the water and run!
The Indian's pony tumbled to the ground on top of his rider, who lay motionless. Above on the sentry walk, Rose saw Lieutenant Anderson lower his rifle as the men beside him clapped him on the back. At the same time, Trover exploded a shell of spherical case over the heads of the other two warriors, turning them back. Rose ran out of the cabin. The water carriers ran through the open gate and were surrounded by a jubilant throng. Rose threw her arms around Dixon.
Rose.
His mouth next to her ear sent a chill down her spine. The men insisted she get the first drink. Rose's hand shook as she raised the cup to her lips and filled her mouth with warm water that bathed her swollen tongue and the aching places at the back of her throat. The water was gritty with sand, but to her it was sweeter than the finest French champagne. She took a cup to the cabin for Skinny. His head was fallen to one side, and his open eye shone like a wet grape. She bent to touch his face and found it cold. Would anyone, if they knew, mourn his passing?
Life is cheap out here, isn't it?
Dixon stood beside her, wiping soot from his face with a handkerchief.
This country makes you see what's important in life. Water is important. Loyalty and trust. Doing the right thing for people you care about, that's important. Rose, this may not be the best time to say this, but...
Don't say anything. Whatever our feelings are, we haven't done anything wrong. I don't want to do anything wrong.
He shook his head.
Wrong? That word has a new meaning out here. All those rules and notions you learned back in Missouri don't hold in this country. Things are different, don't you feel that?
She turned to him.
One thing is the same, no matter where I am. I'm a married woman. I love my husband.
He smiled.
Do you?
Yes.
Rose, you can't will your feelings to be one thing or another. You can try, but it won't work. I know something about this.
His hazel eyes held hers, and she felt herself growing warm. She felt as if she had no clothes on.
I've got to get out of here.
She ran from the cabin to her ambulance, where she closed the door and lay down on the hard bed. At once, she was seized by an uncontrollable fit of shaking that lasted until exhaustion overcame her, and at last, she slept. She woke to the sound of gunfire. It was fully daylight. The Cheyenne were attacking again. She opened the door, sick at heart. But instead of Indians, she saw a long line of mounted soldiers riding down the ridge on the far side of the creek. The Indians were gone. The men in the redoubt were shooting in the air in celebration and running through the gate to meet their rescuers. Rose followed, stopping at the creek to bathe her face in its cold, clean waters. The reflection of a horseman appeared beside her on the water's surface. Something about the width of his shoulders and the angle of his hat sent her heart to her throat.
Rose? Rose, is that you?
Still on her knees, she looked up to see Mark's face, framed by the morning sky.